Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia. Today's guest is a powerful voice in global leadership, women's rights and international advocacy. Patricia Elias is a senior advisor to UN Women, a global campaigner for gender equality, and a leader who has worked at the highest levels of diplomacy, governance, and international law, from advising governments and world leaders to launching global petitions for women's rights. Patricia's work spans continents and causes. Her career is built on courage, strategy, and a deep commitment to justice, equality, and women's political participation. Today, we explore not just her extraordinary professional journey as a lawyer, but the personal resilience, mindset, and leadership behind the impact. Patricia, it's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much, Belinda, for hosting me. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, an absolute pleasure. Now, Patricia, your career spans law, diplomacy, advocacy, and women's leadership. What first drew you into the world of global change making?
Well, I was in the first, as a lawyer, I was in the first year of studying law in the university, and the dean, that was a woman, came and read us all the discriminatory laws against women. And this was a real shock to me to see that any man or boy in any street in the whole world had more rights than me because I was born as a girl. And this, this made me react and want to be the one to defend it and to work to have equal rights between women and men since I was 17 years old. And after this, when I started my law courses and I became a lawyer, curiosity pushed me to have Arab laws, Lebanese law, French laws, English, North American, and international law. Because when you know the laws of the country, you understand the mentality, the way of thinking. So this was the why behind what I became.
And that's amazing. And it's amazing what stayed with you as well, your choice of fighting that unfair law and wanting to stand up for women's rights from such a young age. And I think that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, you've worked closely with governments, the UN and world leaders. What has surprised you most about power and leadership behind the scenes?
Well, I don't think it surprised me, but they have all a mask due to their position, and you have to go behind this mask. They are simple people having jobs, position, and if you touch them, if you break this mask, but in a good way, you can see the man or the woman behind it, and you can have a relationship and a good work together, and this is what I believe in, is having relationship, building bridges between people. And this is the most important if you want to succeed and if you want to have humanity advance.
And that's true for any situation, really.
Yes.
And I think that's beautifully shared. Thank you so much, because that's such a powerful distinction, Patricia, and it's one that feels especially important right now. What you're describing is leadership without dehumanizing the other side. You're not fighting against people, you're working with people.
100%. 100%. I mean,
go on, please do.
Because I think that this will come later on. Like, what I believe is being true, is being authentic, is being a person with value, is respecting humanity. And this makes the other respect you also. And this makes build bridges to have to be able to work together to advance,
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's, again, amazing that you're doing this work and speaking out for those who don't often have a voice to be able to express what they want to share, and building those bridges instead of burning them completely changes the situation in life in general with all situations. And that's such a grounding truth, Patricia, and it cuts through the noise of titles, politics and positioning as well. You're really pointing to something deeper than strategy here. You're talking about being rooted in who you are, not just what you do. And
exactly.
And authenticity as a force, values as your credibility. And when that alignment is there, respect isn't demanded, it's earned naturally. And fighting for women's rights on a global scale takes resilience. Where has your own strength come from across this journey?
Well, I think that my strength comes from the strong belief I have in my mission. You know, I know that this is the right thing to do. We cannot have inequality between half of humanity just because they were born women. You know, this mission is so much embedded in me that it's driving me, you know, and my resilience and my strength comes from this mission, because I know that I'm doing what I should do. You know what? My son is always telling me, Mom, can you try to stop? Can you stop trying to save the world? And I'm answering, I cannot. I cannot. This is, how do you say, it's stronger than me. You know, like I told you, when we went to Africa, to Cameroon, I needed to do something for my citizens, the people around me. So I built an orphanage. When I went to Gabon, I worked with 3 children. When I went to France, I worked with migrants to have women economic empowerment. You know, I try to change around me to the best as much as I can, to try to change a little bit the world to make it better for others, if I can and when I can. And I never stop.
No, that's beautiful, because what you've just described isn't a career anymore. It's a calling. When a mission becomes that embedded, it's not something you can switch off at any time or any, you know.
And this is my huge problem.
And I, you know what, it's beautiful. I think it's amazing what you're doing, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to invite you on the show, because I think what you have to say is so important and so relevant even today. I mean, when we reflect on different things that women have gone through over the years, we've come so far, we have evolved, we have progressed, but we're still fighting. And you've seen the inequality from both a legal and lived perspective, where you've been to different places in the world as well, and the amazing things that you're doing. But what do you believe still needs urgent global attention when it comes to women and equality?
Can I ask you a question? Yes. What doesn't? What doesn't?
This is true.
Yeah. You know what, Belinda? If you think we just had our rights, between brackets, like almost 100 years ago, the right to go to school, to be able to learn, to be able to have our political rights, less than 70 years, like this, around 50 years for some countries. Do you understand, Belinda, that this is a world that was built by man for man, because in the ancient times they were stronger than us physically. You know, when our rights started to be something envisionable by people, after World War II, because all men were fighting, and women took the place, took the countries. They were the one that went to work. They stood up in the place of their men that were at the front fighting, you know. So all the countries, I mean, I'm talking about Europe, was taken by the women. They were the ones that were working, doing everything while the men were fighting. But unfortunately, when the men came back, women came back home. But men understood that women are not as worse as men, and women showed that they were capable as men. And since then, men started thinking that maybe women deserves the same rights, and women started hiring the voice concerning their rights. So it's yesterday, Belinda, it's yesterday. You know, even in Switzerland, like the last country to have women had rights, political rights, you know, to go and vote. To be able to join the political life, to be candidates, you know. So we think that everything is normal for us, we women of 2025. No. And we are seeing what is happening in the whole world. Until now, do you have equal pay? No.
No.
You know that Europe has Istanbul Convention, that is the convention against violence against women and girls. Africa has the Maputo Protocol. Latin America has their own also mechanism. But do you know that this leaves 73% of the world's female population without any protection mechanism against violence against women? And today, Afghanistan, you have 20 million women silenced, returning to Stone Age. You know that now they are forbidden to go to school, so they cannot learn. Do you understand? 20 million women being completely erased from humanity, and they are forbidden to be doctors, forbidden to work. So if one is sick, she can die because she cannot see a man doctor. And more than this, lastly, they have the Taliban has sentenced that women don't need two eyes, one eye is enough. What I mean, Belinda, and do you see one country in the whole world sanctioning this or condemning the Taliban? I'm not seeing this. Are you seeing that in wars now today? The Global Peace Index says that there are more than 78 state armed conflict in the whole world, more than in World War II and more than in the Cold War. But I mean, the index of peace is declining like hell. Those wars, do you know that? South Sudan, Darfur, in all those countries, DRC, like Democratic Republic of the Congo, women are being kidnapped, tortured. And do you hear any, I mean, urgency in the whole world? Where is the Security Council urgency when the front lines are women's homes, bodies, and futures? And nobody, the whole world is silent. The whole world is silent concerning women's homes, bodies, and futures. Do you know that in many countries, when a husband dies, the widow is thrown on the street with her children. They take the home, they take everything. I mean, when you are in the movement, you see how unfair the world is treating women. Look at the glass ceiling in everywhere. Look at the numbers of women lawyers and women judges, but look at the decision making. They are men. Rarely do you see women because they cannot go over this glass ceiling. I mean, and until now, you know that the Istanbul Convention, that is the European Convention against Violence Against Women and Girls, doesn't have something called femicide. They don't speak about femicide. We need to have international convention saying this is a crime. A woman is a human being, is not an object, and you cannot do whatever you want with her. She is a human being like you are. Do you know that in some countries, you cannot even say that women are equal, the equal of men? This is considered like you are, it's a big sin to see. Do you believe in some countries they don't think that women are human beings? Look what is happening also in Afghanistan. I am so ashamed. Look what the movements, women movements did in Iran. Did we have any international movement to stand up by those women? No, we failed them. World failed women and is still failing women, Belinda. Today, it cannot continue. Look what is happening in the US. Some, religious man that is saying that in a family, women don't need to go and vote. The husband is enough to vote for the women. No need for them to go out. This is the new coercive way of being with women. Like, it's enough for you to be in the kitchen, make children and stay home. I mean, Belinda, we are regressing slowly, slowly, in small cuts everywhere, and we are not moving. I had some conversation with somebody from the UN. They told me, we thought the women movement will rise, and nothing. This happened. We thought the feminist movement will... Nothing. Belinda, yeah. It is our fault now. The women, now, us... We think that it is a due, that it is normal for us to have them. We are not seeing, you know, there is a great writer, French women, feminist writer, that said, never think that women's rights are, sustainable win. The smallest crisis, and it's all being completely put down. And she is right. Look what happened when we had Corona, COVID.
Yes.
When the crisis of COVID, I mean violence raised like hell against women in the houses, everywhere in the whole world. It had a rise like... And this is why I want all the women and girls of the world and enlightened men, because I want to remind us all, we are all sons and daughters of a woman.
Mm.
Aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. Please.
So please think about your daughters, your mothers, your wives, your sister. I don't know why men in general are not sensitive to their women, but they are sensitive to their mothers, daughters, maybe sisters. We need you. We need to work all together, hand in hand, not for the sake of women, for the sake of humanity.
Absolutely. And you're right. This isn't just a woman's issue. This is a human issue. It requires enlightened men, as you said, standing beside women and not as saviors, but as allies who recognize that equality strengthens everyone.
Allies. This is the true term. Yes.
Allies. So what does true leadership mean to you today after everything you've witnessed and built?
Well, I think in my point of view that true leadership is being a guide, having ethics, working with principle, working with passion, leading with compassion and empathy, being adaptable, being multicultural, having values.
Yeah.
Being a woman with conviction, having some strategic intelligence, and leading by example. This is very important. Humanity is losing itself in being so completely unethical. We need to go back to the principles, you know? Otherwise, the humanity is going to somewhere that is not a good place. I mean, look what is happening. 78 state armed conflict. If we need peace, we must work. We must put again the values, ethics in the middle, you know? And a true leader is this person working with principle, values and ethics and passion. you know that passion is a very powerful, how do you say, is a powerful, powerful way of working. When you are passionate, it's contagious, you know, everybody goes with the flow because it's so strong, you know.
Yeah, and what I hear you saying is that without those values like dignity, respect and compassion and equality at the very center, progress becomes an illusion and
yes,
everything else fades away, and our human principles erode, humanity itself starts to lose its way.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Patricia, with your valuable and passionate insights so far. Let's take a short commercial break with a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano. Flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and I'm joined by the amazing Patricia Elias. Welcome back, Patricia.
Thank you.
And before the break, you shared your journey about how you view true leadership. And of course, it takes courage and confidence to speak out. Now, many women struggle with confidence and visibility. What advice would you give to women stepping into leadership roles for the first time?
I would say, trust yourself. Be confident in yourself. And to help you be more confident, you must do your homework, like background check, context. You must know everything concerning the situation you are dealing with. You must try to be unbeatable, you know? But even though, trust yourself. You are the best expert on what you are speaking about. Don't ever, ever doubt yourself. And if you are doubting a little bit, go and do some research. Now you have ChatGPT, you have internet, you can have all the research coming to you. Read, literate yourself in what you are working on, and be confident. Because if you trust yourself, everybody will trust you. Be confident and you will impose respect to others. Never doubt yourself.
Patricia, that's such an empowering advice, especially that line, you are the best expert on what you are speaking about. And when you're passionate about something, of course, you will thrive in that area. And yes, we have technology information at our fingertips now, literally. Yes. And we can get all the research that we require in
on your phone in the minute.
Yeah, in any area that we want. And that idea, I love that. What you said about trust, that confidence isn't about forcing respect, it creates it. When a woman trusts herself, the room fills it. People respond to that energy, don't they? And now, Patricia, when you're in that energy, in that field, in that leadership role, your work involves high-level pressure and responsibility, and I know this especially in what you're doing. So how do you personally stay grounded and emotionally balanced?
Well, I must confess that I'm human, and sometimes I get discouraged. I have, like everybody, moments when I'm feeling down. But you must believe that tomorrow is another day. And try to find the strength in yourself to get up and continue the journey. What I want to say to every person that is hearing us, it's normal to be sometimes discouraged, feeling down. Like, it can take time also. But please trust yourself that you will get back on your feet and continue your journey. Because if you trust yourself, you will find the way. It may take time sometimes, but please trust yourself and you will get up and you will continue the journey.
And that's beautiful. It's trusting that you can rise again, isn't it? And sometimes that rise is slow, but sometimes it takes, and it does take time. But once you're standing on your feet, if you've got through the worst part, you can get through whatever you're going through currently. And it's all temporary. Everything is temporary. Now, you've built international coalitions and movements. And of course, there have been times, as you've shared with me, that where people aren't really listening, or, you know, you're only human. There's, I'm sure, life gets in the way and things like that. But what makes people truly unite behind a cause, like you're so passionate about women's rights and equality?
Well, I think the true cause in which, I mean, your passion, your passion and a true cause in which the other can identify themselves, you know? One of the ambassadors I was speaking to, because you know that I was working on an international convention against violence against women and girls. Mm-hmm. And one of the ambassadors of one of the countries joined me, like effortless, I would say, between brackets, because the other I had to come back many times, ask and advocate and everything. And I asked him, why are you joining so, between brackets, easily? He told me, I have two girls. I'm thinking about their future. I want for them a safe future. This is why. This is an enlightened man. You understand? And when I'm saying, like, when you can make the other identify itself, himself or herself in the cause you are fighting for, they know that it's a noble cause. They know that it's a cause that is trustworthy, that they can, put themselves in, you have won, you know? For me, you have to, look, you don't impose, you consult, you inspire, you know? And the others will come to you because it is a just cause, you know? So it cannot be another way. Sometimes it takes time. It can take like 2 years, but when a door closes, enter by the window. And if the window closes, find another way to enter. Have always a plan A, B, C, because this cause is so important that you have to ally everybody behind it. And people will understand it, you know? So be passionate about a true cause, humanitarian cause, or a true cause in which humanity can identify itself.
Yeah, and the mission is non-negotiable. Even if the route keeps changing, stores, windows, detours, it doesn't matter how long it takes. If the cause is right, and that's the most important thing, the cause. And yes. I'm 100% behind you. And that kind of persistence, I think people misunderstand it as stubbornness, but it's faith in the outcome. It's knowing that there will be a time where knowing that resistance doesn't mean stop, it mean just means adapt, and it means that.
Yeah, look Mandela.
Yeah.
The Mandela, you know, look Gandhi. This is it, you know, persistence, believing, faith in the outcome. Look, it took them time, but yeah. They won. And I will give you another example. You know that the international treaty for non-nuclear armed proliferation was signed in between Gorbachev and Reagan, like USSR, the Russian and America. And it was signed, and Gorbachev said it was due to the feminist movement in the UK. Well, there was a small town in the UK called Greenham. Mm. In Greenham, there was a nuclear base, armed base. And the women of Greenham didn't want to have nuclear weapons at their doors. So they went around this camp and they did a sit-in, a peaceful sit-in. It took them 4 years. Some of them were tortured. They were like, they took them the tents, they put them like under very high pressure. Some of them were raped. I mean, they suffered a lot for 4 years, but those women stayed peacefully for 4 years because they didn't want to have nuclear arms in their village. What happened after 4 years? They won, the camp was dismantled, and there was an international treaty on non-nuclear arms proliferation signed between Russia and the United States, and the Russian president said that it was this movement of women in the UK, and some of the clauses of this treaty were taken from the ass of those women. So this is why I want to say to all the women of the world and the girls and the enlightened men, trust yourself, we have to unite for humanity.
Yes. And that's such a fascinating example to bring in as well, Patricia, because it shows that even at the very highest level of global power, movements of principle can shift outcomes that once seemed impossible. And exactly. I love that.
And this is it. True stories. This is history. This is what happened.
And it's amazing. And I'm grateful for you sharing that. Thank you again, Patricia. Let's just take another short break with a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio with me, Belinda Walia, and the inspiring Patricia Elias, talking about the future of women's leadership and how we can all become better allies for equality. Welcome back, Patricia.
Thank you.
Now, Patricia, what role does faith, purpose, or inner belief play in your life and decision making?
Well, this is the story of my life. Faith. Faith in the cause I am fighting for. Equal rights between women and men. So this is the story of my life. This is what have led me until today, you know? And all my decision making are led by this faith that my mission is so much embedded in me and I have to carry it on.
Yes. And it's an amazing mission. And I mean, I know that we've shared some of our own views and perspectives, but what does the next chapter of women's leadership globally need to focus more on?
Yes, thank you for this question. We need to focus on creating a global women's movement that speaks in one voice and stand up for our rights. I am really from your station, I'm asking the whole movement of women to unite. We cannot work in silos anymore. Let us all unite and join our forces to stand up for our rights.
Yes. And it's clear that this mission didn't just happen to you. It flows through you. And that, again, coming back to that passion you spoke about earlier, it's not just for yourself. It's to help humanity, help women. We can't afford fragmentation anymore. And when women work in silos. Yeah, in the silos, the system stays comfortable, doesn't it? But when women speak with one voice, history shifts. Like the example you gave us earlier.
Yes, of the women of Greenham.
Yes, and it's about that collective courage.
Yes.
And more than anything else. But of course, I mean, you and I have shared some of our own personal views, but I think what has your work taught you about human strength, vulnerability, and most importantly, that courage? Because I think that's where a lot of women are fearful. They haven't got the courage to speak out because they feel if they do, they will get tortured or be disadvantaged in some way.
Well, I would say that I am the most vulnerable person. I am vulnerable to the suffering of others, to poverty, to old age, to injustice. Really, I suffer. You know, I have persons that calls me from the whole world to let me know about what they are enduring, and this makes me suffer. But at the same time, this is our strength. I think also that many women are more courageous than they think, and more courageous than some men. We stand for our rights. We are fighting for them since we were born, since decades, and we are still fighting. You know, this is something that men didn't have to do. We have to do it since we were born. You know, I will tell you something, Belinda. When you walk on the street at night, are you safe? Do you feel safe in any street?
Not at all.
Ah, you have to look behind you to you know, always to be on your guard. Men don't have the same, you know. And I will say so, even in wars, I mean, we have both of men and women endure the same, plus women endure something else that is, you know, what. This is what I'm saying. This is why we are stronger. We are more courageous, you know. And we have to trust ourselves.
Yeah. And going back to what you said about safety, just on our own doorstep and in our own streets, I you're right. I don't feel safe. I'm constantly sharing certain TikTok videos with my family members, female family members, on how to manage risk and how to... you know, if there's danger, to stay alert. And
yeah, stay alert. Yes.
Staying alert constantly. But what's happening here is what I'm saying is, you're right, this is a reality. Women are trained into from childhood, long before adulthood, long before any so-called freedom. They don't have it. They don't have that freedom like you're describing. And finally, we could talk about this for a very long time, Patricia, but on a final note, what message would you most like every woman listening today to take with her about her power and potential?
Like I said, believe in yourself. You are a house of power. And as I was saying, we need to unite all the women's movement and enlightened men and boys with us to say, please join. You know, I have a global petition for peace inclusive of women called No Peace Without Women. This says that, you know, data shows that when there are women in the peace negotiation, you have 35% more chances to have a more sustainable peace of 15 years, at least, you know. So I'm saying, let us unite, join hands, men and women, for this global call, No Peace Without Women. Please, all of you, go to my Patricia Elias LinkedIn, Facebook, social media, and sign the petition No Peace Without Women. Be a bridge to have a global movement, international, worldwide movement, signing this call for peace, because my belief is that women are the future of humanity.
And what you shared about peace negotiations is absolutely vital. When women are at the table, peace lasts longer. That isn't ideology, that's evidence, that's lived truth. And it shows that inclusion isn't a nice extra, it is a strategic necessity for the future of the world. Patricia, you've been amazing. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, your honesty and clarity with us today. Your voice continues to be one that shapes leadership, equality and justice across the world. To everyone listening, today's conversation is your reminder that your voice matters, your leadership matters and your courage matters. So please do reach out to Patricia, go to her LinkedIn, in her bio, the petition's there, or on most of her social media platforms. This has been the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia. Thank you for joining us. And to close today's show, I'm leaving you with one of the most powerful parts of a song that highlights female strength and self-belief, I Am Woman by Helen Reddy. Until next time, take care of your heart, your voice, and your power.